there, you know, bah, 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 you know, calling out to each other. And I'm just enjoying sitting among the sheep, watching them chew their cud. Like I'm doing right now. You all are chewing your cud, thinking, what in the world have we come to today? We had spent 2 days together on this particular trip. We had spent some other earlier days together walking across the Himalayas down into this huge valley, and we have a city to cross. We're sitting in this village just on the outskirts of the city. And for the last couple of days, we've been walking. We walked all night long. And we'd come to this place, and we had a few hours of rest, literally just about 3 hours of sleep. And then we had to get up, and we're watching the sheep up on the mountainside as they're grazing. And then the day had come to a close, another full, long day of just grazing. And then we brought the sheep and goats down to the bottom of the valley again. And we're getting ready to go on the final march of this leg of the journey, which is to actually go through the city. And I'm just watching the sheep sitting there resting. And it gets starts to get dark. And one of the brothers of the clan, I'll just call him by his English translation of his name. His name means friend. So friend says to me, he sees me sitting in the middle of the sheep like this. And he says, okay, Ron, it's time to get the sheep up. Get them up. And I'm thinking, so far these sheep have demonstrated that they're not real fond of my voice. I mean, I don't know, they're not really clever. Maybe, it's my thought. So I say to the sheep, hey sheep, get up. That's about all it does. No, get up. No, come on, get up. Actually, you need to stay there. Ignore me. I didn't have to prep the sheep, actually. They just totally ignored me. Hey, sheep, get up. Get up. Friend is over there, he's saying, he saw me about to kick the sheep. He says, no, you never, never put your foot on the sheep. That is demeaning. You never do that. Use a stick. So I get a stick and it's got about that much wool. It doesn't do anything. I don't want to hit him on the head. His mama probably hit me in the head. Nothing. And I look over there, just like you all, friend is laughing at me. So I said, friend, how do you get these sheep up? And he turns and he says, oh, Berto, Uto. Now I had already tried those words. You try. Oh, Berto. Oh, sheep, oh, Berto, Uto. Still didn't work. Okay? So then friend, he turns and he calls out, oh, Berto, Uto. All 150 sheep and goats get up at the same time. And they start moving. It's like, friend is over there still laughing at me. And then his father, wise man, that's what his name means. Wise man says, Ron, we need you out in front. Get out and start walking in front of the sheep. So, come on, wise man. I felt like saying wise guy. They've already demonstrated they have no interest in following me. I don't have the right whistles. I can't do it. I can't do the clicks and calls and whistles and stuff that they do. I speak the language, but apparently I don't speak the language of these sheep. But he says the sheep need somebody out in front of them. I'm thinking, like, they can't, I mean, sure, I can dress like them, but I don't smell like them. I mean, I had a bath last week. But it takes a little bit longer time than that to really begin to smell like a good smelly sheep. I mean, a good smelling sheep. How many of you really appreciate the smell of sheep? A few of you apparently have been among them. It takes a little bit longer than that. Once you've been among them, actually about as long as I have, at least, or maybe even Stan and Laura, did you guys get to the point where you like really can't wait to be among the sheep again? To smell the beautiful aroma? Laura's like, no way. Or how about when your kids come back from playing with them? You guys need a bath. What is that crawling in your hair? They're not going to follow me, wise man. He says, don't worry about that. It's our job to teach them to follow you. You just get out in front. The sheep need somebody out in front. Sure enough, I get out and walk, and they're about 10 feet behind me. Okay, fine. So I'm walking. And as we go along, oh, by the way, wise man, I'm not that wise. I don't know the way where we're going through the city. He says, don't worry about that. We'll call out when you go the wrong direction. So, okay, we walk. Sometimes friend or sometimes wise man are walking up beside me, and sometimes some of the other members of the clan, they come along and join just to encourage me and teach me, you know, a few lessons about how to take care of the sheep. And as we're going along, I mean, we're not wandering. There's a very clear track. But all of a sudden, I realize, actually, somebody from the back of the pack. By this time, several herds of flocks have all joined together. And we've got like 400 sheep and goats coming along as we're walking in the middle of the night. You look back, and in the darkness, you can hear them. There's a lot of them. But until we come under a streetlight, you can't really see how many. And somebody from the back of the line calls out, "Oh, Ranasab! You went the wrong way." Oh, great. How do you turn around 400 sheep and goats? I didn't know either. So the men began to call out, "Oh, Berlo, Bakra! Wapas lot, ah, ah, ah." And they all turned around like a troop of Marines. I was in the Marines, about face, reverse march. That's exactly what they said, and that's exactly what they did. Four platoons. So we're walking along, not exactly in step, okay? They're sheep and goats. Sure enough, I didn't know the way. And now I'm at the back of 400 sheep and goats. Wazir, the wise man, he says again, "Ram, we need you to get up in front." Okay, they didn't follow me before. How are they going to follow me now? He says, don't worry, we'll teach them. And we'll be closer at showing you the right way. So I get back out in front, and we're walking along. And I said to a friend one time as we're a little bit later, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he says to me, "Ron, are you getting tired? You look like you're getting a little bit tired." Maybe a little bit. But he's still like, fresh as day. I'm going, "Do you guys ever get tired?" He says, "No. I'm taktanihi. We don't get tired." In this passage, Jesus talks about also the sheep pen. Can you imagine, this is not, you know, this nice, you know, banister here, this little wall, but a bunch of bramble bushes and sticker bushes and stuff like that they cut, and they line them up and they make a big circle. And all the sheep and goats, I notice you know, keep the band also, you know, tucked away back here. That's probably a good idea. There's only, I closed off that side because normally there's just one entrance. And literally in a lot of places, because of thieves or other wild animals and stuff, the shepherd literally has to be the gate. And nobody is allowed in and out. In fact, they would often invite me in, and I would come in, and I didn't really realize that you had to wait until you get an invitation before you come in. among the animals. But a friend of mine from another clan had come to visit where I was with this clan, and he came right up to the gate, and even though he could easily just walk through the gate, he didn't. And I'm going, "Hey, buddy, come on in. You know, I came in." He says, "No, Ron," he says, "you don't understand. We have prohibition. If this is not my flock, I am not allowed in among them unless the lead shepherd invites me in." So I turned to Friend again, the guy whose name is Friend. I said, "Hey, you know, aren't you going to invite him in?" He says, "Nope." "Nothing doing. We don't do that. Even if, you know, it doesn't matter if he's your friend. He's not part of our clan. He doesn't know our sheep, and we don't want him to get to know our sheep." So, okay. Anybody, you know, tries to crawl over the top or go in through that gate without permission, they've got a dog. You've never seen this dog. Okay? He's big. There's two versions. One is kind of light-colored and one is dark-colored. And they have a blood-curdling bark that sounds like the roar of a bear. And I used it, actually kind of tried to give a demonstration of it one time in a church like this, and several of the kids were like screaming and running out. I'm not going to try it here. Okay, I don't want to scare anybody. And they have sharp teeth. If you want, I can show you a scar on my ankle. If they're not your goats or your sheep, and they haven't given you permission, don't even pet their animals. That's just a piece of advice. One time, you know, we live in Colorado where they like to do the 14ers, 14,000 feet, you know, peaks. And they've asked me, "Hey, Ron, have you been to 14,000 feet? Been done one of the 14ers yet?" That's a common question in Colorado. You probably haven't done any 14ers in Connecticut. So I said, "Well, I haven't done one of the 14ers yet. I plan to. I have been at 14,000 feet. It wasn't too long ago. I was standing next to a river." And then they're all like, "Oh." "Yeah, you're from like mountains, huh?" Okay, yeah. So we're at 14,000 feet. Just to picture the river that's going down there. Comes out of that glacier that's about a mile upstream there. You can see that there. Here's this huge mouth of the glacier. It stands about as tall as this roof, actually. And we had walked down that glacier for 3 hours coming from the other side of the mountain ridge. Across the mountain ridge was somewhere over 16,000 feet. I'm not sure. 17, maybe. And we had hiked down, then onto the glacier, and wiped on the glacier for 3 hours. And then we finally got down off the glacier, and we look at this river come straight rushing out of the mouth of the glacier. 15 feet by about 20 feet. One of the most awesome experiences of my life, just to be doing that. And then, so we're just downstream from that, downriver. The river's kind of noisy. And my friend, I'll give his name George. I don't want to give any real names here. So my friend George, you know, he's looking up on the hillside up there. And way up there, if you look up there with me, way up there in the upper parts there, those aren't just rocks up there, but there's sheep and goats. Can you see them? You can see that they kind of move around a little bit, okay? And my friend George, he's looking up there, and he's just got this look of, like, love and proud, okay? And I already could interpret his face. These are his sheep and goats. And he's looking up there, and then he says, "Hey, Ron." We were looking for something to do. My son was with me at the time. He was a teenager at the time. And he thought, my son Jeremy was bored. So we're out there looking for something fun to do. We couldn't find a soccer ball or anything. About 2 days walk to any town or any even road. He says, "Hey, you want to call them down?" He says, he had said, "You know, those are my sheep." And I said, "It's pretty obvious looking at your face. Want me to call him down?" "Sure, go ahead." So he says, "Oh, Berta, Tona Aja. Aja, ah, ah." Now, I just recognize that none of you are actually shepherds. Okay, because if you were real shepherds, you would have stopped me right about then, as my friend, the one I'm calling Friend, has done when I've told this story. He says, Ron, didn't he start by clapping? Like, this is a common activity among them. And he says, when we talk about this, this is what we do. We first you clap, and then we whistle, and then we call, oh, Berto, Tanaja. And I said, actually, yeah, that's what he did. So as he calls out and he starts clapping his hands, those sheep and goats, even at that distance, you can see them pick up their heads and start looking down at us. And then he calls them down. He says, ah, ah. And they start running down the hill, 150 some odd sheep and goats, like this big, huge goat and sheep avalanche. And a little bit of rocks coming down with them. And so they come down, and then they start swirling around us like a big furry whirlpool. And I'm looking over at George, and he's got this look of intense love. Now, you love your puppy, but he's got like 150 puppies down here to play with him. And I'm just looking at this. This is awesome. He's running around. They're kind of ignoring me and my son. And they're just playing with him, and they're doing the headbutt thing. And by the way, a little piece of advice. When you're headbutting with goats, keep your hands in front of you. Okay? Anyway, so he's playing with them, and they're butting each other, and they're butting with him, and, you know, butting the hands like this, and just having a great old time. And then after about 15, 20 minutes of this, he says to them, so, Ron, you think I should send them back up? I said, sure, go ahead. So he says, oh, pero, wapas los ya, wapas los ya, 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 ya. So then they start going back up the hill, just kind of prancing up the hill like, you know, oh, before that, he had said, you want to take a picture? Yeah, sure. Now, we don't have this picture here, but I've got it on my laptop. I don't know if you guys have a copy of this one. But my son had the camera. So George says, hey, you want to take a picture? Yeah, sure. So then he says to all the sheep and goats, he says, we're going to take a picture. And they all line up. I'm not kidding you. You look at this picture. Now, in every group, there's always one, right? So when you look at this picture, they're all lined up. They're all looking at the camera. But there's one who's trying to get another headbutt in. He got this picture of me standing with George. Got another picture with my son in it. And then he says, okay, we're going to send them back up. So they all start running, you know, prancing back up the hill from which they had been called to do the thing that God had designed them to do, which is eat grass and fertilize the neighborhood. They had just enjoyed the time of their life spending some time with their shepherd, kind of like what we're doing right now. Not me, that shepherd. Hanging out with him, getting a little bit of fed, a little bit of enjoyment, butting heads with each other a little bit, maybe after church. And then go back up to that place. Go back out to that place. To do the thing that God has designed us to do. In our case, we're still working on Bible translation, still working on mentoring the believers among the sheep over there. In the Himalayas, and I'm able to, you know, Skype, email, telephone. It's a beautiful age we live in. We're still able to actually work on the translation of the scriptures in the language. The other things that God has called us to do is to be about calling a new generation of workers. People have often said to me, sorry, I'm going over time. Maybe neither one of those clocks work, just pretend. And so, two things. One, I got blacklisted, and I can't live there anymore. The country won't let us back in. My wife is there right now with my youngest daughter. We have five kids. Our youngest one, 15 years old, is with my wife and two other ladies from Colorado. I wish I had more time to tell more stories, but you can talk to me afterwards how these two ladies found themselves in the Himalayas right now. Currently at about 7,000 feet. I can't be there anymore. People have complained about me talking too much about Jesus. Okay, there's a few believers. There's a little flock. There have been other flocks, and then they've been scattered by some wolves. But this flock has endured the attacks of wolves several times already, and they're still meeting together. There's a court case currently going on We're hoping it'll be squashed very soon. Please pray for Silas. You talk to others to find out more details of his life. All these stories are flooding my mind, but two other things that we're involved in. Okay, we're praying about 15 years ago when opposition to our work first began. I said, God, if these people are ever successful at keeping me out of the country, I'll do whatever I can do. Whatever you enable me to do, I'll put my all into it to see 100 people come to replace me. Not because I left such a big hole, but if those people are annoyed by one radical Jesus follower, I wonder what they will do with 100. I'm praying that the majority of those will come from within India. I'm praying that another big block of those will come from Latin America. Nosotros también hablemos en español y estamos para traer los mexicanos y otros latinos. We want to also bring Latin Americans, Mexicans, other people who speak other languages, also to reach Muslims in these countries. But a lot of people have said, hey, Ron, we've got a lot of Muslims here. We've got a lot of people here. You know, God has brought them to our doorstep. And, you know, you could stay here and it'll be safer. You could reach the Muslims that are living here in Connecticut. And I usually respond by saying, brother, do you feel like you're called to go to India? No? Okay, so you're living here? Okay. So these Muslims who have moved here and other people from other countries, they're your neighbors, right? Okay. So that means God has called me to go there, so I'm going to go there, and then you can stay here and you can reach the ones that are now your neighbors. Does that work? Then you might say, well, yeah, but I don't know how. Go ahead and say that. Okay. Then I would usually, you know, like throw a few little dog treats at you and little tidbits, and then I'd rush on a plane and get back to India. Strike that. And, but then nothing really would happen normally. Well, now I can't go back there, so I'm here. Dan mentioned the hub. Part of our intention is to see a hub kind of community network come together where people would be holding each other accountable, mutually equipping one another to reach the Muslims that are your neighbors. So I'm praying that some from this congregation will join that. I'm praying that some from this congregation will go back to one of these Muslim countries, somewhere in South Asia where I was, or another country. I'm actually looking at this little flock, and I'm praying that God will raise up some from here to reach the Muslims locally, or maybe some from here will also go to South Asia, or to the Middle East, or to North Africa. There's a lot that we can do. You can participate in what we're doing. You can join the hub group. And talk to us afterwards. Sorry for taking up so much extra time. Thank you for your patience. Lord God, I pray your hand to come on this congregation, this little flock, that you would raise up some who would reach Muslims here, that would go also from here to reach the Muslims in other places. I thank you, God, for Teen Challenge. I pray that you'll get my nephew David into Teen Challenge, and that you will do in my nephew what you have done in these gentlemen who are sharing that morning with me here. I am so grateful to you and so honored to be in the presence of these men. Thank you.